Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
And I had shared really that there were three things that I thought were significant and somewhat providential that had happened in my Social Security class, excuse me. You can tell I'm getting older, huh? In my Sunday school class. Anyway, I had taught a lesson, the deception of liberalism, in the class. And one of the things I concentrated on were what are termed psycho-spiritual technologies associated with liberal groups, like, you know, creative visualization or guided imagery, or what Norman Vincent Peale referred to as positive imagery. And then also I looked at hypnosis. And then third, I looked at contemplative spirituality or contemplative prayer. Now, all of the aforementioned psychotechnologies or psycho-spiritual technologies involve altered states of consciousness. And a new class member in the class asked me about visualization, kind of scoffing really about the whole idea. You mean there's something wrong with visualization and say, you know, being a better golfer or whatever, you know. So, you know, I guess this would be the burning question if you're a golfer. I'm not so much of a golfer, but seriously, though I believe there is a proper use of our God-given imagination, I think Dave Hunt was one of the first watchmen on the walls to sound the alarm of the seduction of Christianity that was taking place 30 years ago when he wrote his book of the same name, that is, The Seduction of Christianity, which has now come full circle, and of which things like, you know, visualization and these other things we're talking about have become a problem and a reality even within the church. this seduction that Dave spoke of course, was part of the predicted falling away from the faith, the apostasy of the last days. So what do we say or do when people ask such questions? I think this is a big problem, and I will share a little bit more about that later. Now, after I had taught my lesson, one of our other Sunday school teachers was teaching in Acts 16, verses 16 and 17, and I want to go there now. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. This same damsel followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Well, actually, it should have been translated "a way of salvation," and that was the problem with Paul, no doubt why he cast this demon out of the girl, because she was falsely representing or basically trying to include Paul as being just, you know, what they were preaching is just another way, just one of many ways of salvation. You know, like the typical New Age liberal who would say that all paths lead to God and that type of thing. So this was something, again, that just came about in our class. You know, there are many, many frauds out there claiming to be psychics and fortune tellers and whatever, and they are fraudulent. But I would always emphasize that though there are many frauds, this seems to have been a true case, of course, as Paul cast a demon out of this girl. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that there's nothing new under the sun. And so always realize that just because there are these frauds and fakes and all con men and women that are out there, there's the true the true thing, which is counterfeited by them. Now, and then the other thing that took place in class, that Chris, one of our more discerning class members, had brought me a printout of a recent local psychic divination type event around the time that we were studying this event in the Book of Acts there. And, you know, I've attended countless events like these, many whole life expos, which, you know, were New Age oriented expos in Los Angeles, many UFO conferences in Nevada and elsewhere, many psychic fairs, metaphysical functions all over the country, ghost hunters conferences in Kentucky. I even attended a hypnotist at the University of South Carolina while I was attending Columbia Bible College in Columbia, South Carolina. But over the years, the interest in practices, the interest in practices forbidden by God and His Word are no longer limited to large cities or extremely liberal areas, you know, like college campuses, etc., but have become so mainstream that a small city in Kentucky hosted one recently. That's the one I'm speaking of. Now, I think this is strong evidence that spiritual seduction is everywhere, and of course also in the church. As I mentioned, as the apostasy grows, this should be expected, or that is, as I mentioned, that the apostasy of the last days is really upon us. Now, whatever term you want to use, be it New Age or new spirituality, etc., it's coming like a freight train, and it's heading to help form the false church, the great harlot, spoken of in Revelation 17. I think the local event helps refute the idea that the New Age movement is no longer relevant. Actually, it's more relevant than ever, since this is small town America. And as I said before, there are many names for it, but usually I refer to it as New Age or New Spirituality. The event that my friend Chris referred me to was called Mama Ruby's Holistic Mystic Expo. And, of course, I talked about this a month and a half ago, so there's quite a bit of review here that I'm going through, but I think it's okay. I think it's helpful anyway to go over this. You can always go to the archives, of course, but I wanted to kind of get my bearings and get back on track here. I hate to break that continuity that my computer crash created for me. Anyway, Mama Ruby's Holistic Mystic Expo. But, you know, if it walks like walks and talks like a duck, it usually is a duck. That is a New Age, New Spirituality type event. I had read about the event in a local free magazine, News for You, it's called. And I'm thankful for Chris, you know, for printing out the expo particulars, you know, the events and activities before, and you can access my archives, as I've said, if you want to hear more detailed, you know, a coverage of that. But I want to highlight a few in light of God's Word and others, and I'll, you know, in mentioning others as I go along, who in this series, who have been delivered and have researched what's going on. This will be part of a two-part outline, and not necessarily a two-part podcast, as I have a feeling it's going to stretch to more than two, including point one, Mama Ruby's Holistic Mystic Expo, with selected topics and comments, which we'll be looking at today. And part two, Roman numeral two, obvious dangers and answers to occultic activity without and within churches. Now, let's look at a few of these things. The event that my friend Chris referred me to me, as I mentioned, was Mama Ruby's, I'm sorry, I got a little off track here, Mama Ruby's Holistic Mystic Expo. And for instance, there was someone named Kim Russo, and she was referred to as the Happy Medium. You know, there you go. Just like we were talking about the girl in the book of Acts, the Happy Medium, a psychic medium you could contact. And then Mary Bannon had something called multidimensional healing. C.B. Bjork, removing five common blocks to psychic development. Larry Crockett, shamanic journey event. And, you know, shamans were those in cultures, third world type countries, and other countries, or other cultures, I should say, Native American Indian shamans, other foreign countries that maybe, let's just say, underdeveloped countries that where they go to shamans for spiritual wisdom. They go into a trance-like state and receive supposedly information from the other side, and no doubt do get information from the other side. The fact is the information is coming from demons masquerading as animal spirits and etc. Here's another one. Ask a psychic. With medium Victor Peruta. Alien Awakening, Mark Janes, Tennessee Wraith Chasers, and Ghost Hunting Weekends. Rachel and Christopher St. Booth, A Prescription to Happiness. And then Making Time for Reiki, Meditation, Yoga, and More with Bertina Varney. Now, you know, remember Reiki and yoga have become very popular in the Church of Jesus Christ. Also, Dr. Oz, very popular secular doctor, celebrity doctor, has his wife is a Reiki master. And of course, Reiki is actually an occult form of healing. And I used to see them all the time, the Reiki healers, when I would go to the Whole Life Expos. They would just be standing there silently with their hand over the person's head, apparently infusing some type of good vibes or energy, really. It's really a form of what's known as energetic healing. In other words, energetic meaning energy. And then yoga, of course, being part and parcel to Hinduism, is of course also become very popular in the Church. Now, Darren, the hypnotist, the master hypnotist, Get Unplugged is the name of his workshop. Darren Jolman was his name. And I will be speaking, of course, in detail in part two about some of these things that I've observed along the way on my spiritual path. I had to wonder if this man Darren did past life regressions. Here's another one: How to Create Interspiritual Ceremonies and Rituals by Victoria Price. You know, you hear the term interspiritual a lot. You can kind of use that interchangeably with the term interfaith. And there again, this is another way in which New Age occultic beliefs and ideas have invaded the professing Church of Jesus Christ, as there are many churches who claim to be interfaith or interspiritual, and you know, not only the occultic New Age type ideas, but also ideas conducive to having fellowship with those that no true Christian should be fellowshipping with, that is pagan religions, any foreign religion, actually. The idea is, you know, of course, if you can reach them with the gospel, fine. But you shouldn't provide a basis for which you can mutually make each other's religion more successful or what have you. You know, can't we all just get along and make a better world, that type of concept. Judy Lynch had a workshop entitled Spirit Guide Connection. And then there was the Sunday Morning Centering Service with Reverend Victoria Price. Reverend Rachel Hollander was also involved with this, and they deem themselves also as interspiritual or interfaith reverends, Reverend Victoria and Reverend Rachel. Now, Holly McCullough had the title of her topic was Earthbound Spirits, It's Not Always What You Think. And then moving on to Working with the Dead, The Dying and the Suffering Beings with Melinda Durbin. This, again, is the idea of you're helping to move earthbound souls to the light, bring them into the light, you know, after their time here on earth, setting them free from being stuck here in a ghostly form or what have you. Now, Becky Henry had the intuitive heart meditation process, contacting the higher self. All right. Now, with the time that, and I have a lot of time left, but I don't want to forget one other thing before we go on with the occult, with point two of my outline, and the obvious dangers and answers to occultic activity without and within the churches. And I just wanted to mention again that there are six series on presently on five different channels, six different series on cults that are on that I think you'll find very interesting and helpful. They come from a secular perspective, of course. They come more dealing with the sociological problems, psychological problems of cults, as opposed to the theological problems of the cults. But I still think it's helpful what they're doing to inform people. And Christians, you know, we can be helped as well, even though they're not dealing with the theological problems per se, or how to lead them out of the heretical views that they have taken in. But I still think these are helpful programs, because the point is, we want to warn people about deception. We don't want to see people caught into cults and the occult. We want, first and foremost, of course, to bring them into the kingdom of light. We want to help them see that Christ can bring them into the kingdom of light. And if they're trapped in the kingdom of darkness, well, that's a little bit harder to get them out. Only God can do it anyway. But what I mean is, we would like to see people come to know Christ, and we'd like to see them come without having to have spent such a horrible, miserable experience in cults and occultic activity. So that's why I think that these cult series are really worth watching. So let me remind you what these programs, the names, and the channels that they're on. I have to. my dog is bothering me right now. Just a second. Now, folks, where can you find a more down-home, homespun program than mine? I have my dog joining in on the fun, and I'm sorry about that. I really hate to start the podcast over. I don't like do-overs. So we'll just keep moving right along from where we left off. Now my dog's happy, I'm happy, and I hope you all are happy. You know, when you've got a 115-pound giant Alaskan Malamute, you sometimes, you know, you pay attention to what their needs are, because you never know what might happen. Anyway, and, you know, she is man's best friend. But anyway, seriously, these cult series, there are one that's been very interesting is Leah Remini's A&E special that she's been doing, not special, but her series on Scientology. And from what I understand, I think she's going to be doing another season on Scientology, but also she is going to be doing a special. I don't know if it's just a one-shot, you know, like a one-night special or what have you, but she's going to be doing a thing on the Jehovah's Witnesses. And so, again, a little bit of providential, a little providence going on for me anyway, having just been down to the JW's convention recently. You might want to listen in if you didn't hear that last week. You might want to have a first-hand observation, my experience of visiting down there. I, as I mentioned before, I put on a nice shirt, nice pants, a clip-on tie, and I grabbed my New World Translation perversion of the Bible, which is their Bible, and went down there, and you can hear about that in last week's podcast. But anyway, I guess Leah did such a good job with the Scientologists that the A&E Network decided for her to do a special on Jehovah's Witnesses. So anyway, moving right along, A&E also has a series, Cults and Extreme Beliefs, that they're doing. So actually, A&E, if they're continuing with Leah's Scientology series, which I think they are, then actually they have three different things going that are going to be going on. And the third being the Cults and Extreme Beliefs, which I have been watching weekly. Last week, there was a group called the 12 Tribes, which I had found some information about recently in my travels. And actually, I know of someone whose nephew is involved with it. And then, of course, Reverend Moon's son has his own cult going, and I had watched that. So very interesting, again, from a secular perspective, not a Christian perspective. But I'm giving you just a little bit of, hopefully, just a little taste in sharing what I'm sharing to encourage you to watch these programs. Now, the ID Network, it's ID Network / People Magazine, Investigates, it's called, also has a cult program, and my wife and I have watched that. That's been on Monday nights whereas the A&E Cults and Extreme Beliefs has been on Tuesday nights, but we've watched several of those so far. HBO, which we do not have, has had a series called Welcome to Jonestown. And then Netflix has Wild Wild Country, where, from what I understand, they have been doing a study on the old cult Raj Nietzsche. He became, I think, Osha, I think is they changed his name after he left his body, after he dropped his body, whatever he did. But anyway, this was the Hindu Indian cult leader who came, and he had European followers and he had people from all over the world. But they settled in Oregon, took over a town literally, put their own people in political offices, and scared the heck out of everybody in the neighborhood there. For fear that they might have another Jonestown or Waco, Texas on their hands, which, by the way, is the same fear that people are having concerning Reverend Moon's son's group. And again, you can go back to my past couple of podcasts as I spoke about that one. And then finally, there's CBS on CBS All Access. And I said this before, I don't know of anybody that has CBS All Access. I wish I did, because of all of these, this is the one I think I would like to see the most, having lived in Pasadena, California, part of my 20-year experience of living in L.A. area. I discovered in a local free paper a series that was done about Jack Parsons, who was one of the men who helped found the JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, which facility I passed many times driving through down the highway or down the street there. And anyway, it turns out Jack Parsons, from the article I had read, was a good friend of L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of the notorious Wicked Scientology cult. Well, We now know probably where Hubbard got some of his ideas, because he and Parsons were followers of Aleister Crowley. And Aleister Crowley, as you may or may not know, has been followed by many, you know, hard rock musicians as well as other people. And the ones names that come to mind, well, Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin. And just as his name didn't come to my mind last time, his name doesn't come to my mind this time. Anyway, he was the lead guitar player for Deep Purple. But that's just scratching the surface of all the people who followed this black magician whose name was Aleister Crowley. The name of this series is Strange Angel. And Jack Parsons was, you know, I guess by day a rocket scientist and by night a worshiper of very dark forces, let's say. So anyway, that's something. If you have CBS All Access, or if you know somebody who does, or if you do, call me, will you? Excuse me. Again, my humor, it knows no bounds. But that is an interest. That sounds like an interesting, very interesting thing, because it seems that that would be an attempt to really try to inject occultism into general society. And this is some really scary, creepy stuff, and the stuff that they were doing there in Pasadena, really bad stuff. Again, kind of probably laying the groundwork for some of the ideas that Hubbard had in that awful, awful cult known as Scientology. Well, now, that really brings me to the end of today's lesson, at least what I had hoped to do, but I see I still have a few minutes left, so I have my next lesson prepared, so maybe we can get our foot in the door for that. As I mentioned, I will be doing part two of this outline, you know, obvious dangers and answers to occultic activity without and within the churches, and I've touched on that a little bit, of course, tonight. The obvious dangers, but this week, closing out here, and then next week I'll really go full bore into dealing with this. well, you know, the way I look at it is, when my dog knocks on the door, I apologize, folks. I really didn't want to do this podcast over, So here, you would love my dog. If you were here, you would let her in too. So there she is. And it's so hot outside, I really can't just leave her out there. Isn't this a touching story? Some of you folks are going to think I'm a little strange if you haven't figured that out already. But anyway, back to where I was. As I say, we've looked at Mama Ruby's Holistic Mystic Expo, and that has sort of opened the door for me now to deal with questions like, what do we do or say when people ask about visualization techniques to improve your golf game or energetic healing? You know, what if you're healed? You know, your doctor hasn't been able to take care of you. And Reiki, as I mentioned earlier, is one of these forms of energetic healing. You know, and I would say that just because you may get results doesn't mean that it's biblical, safe, or approved by God, obviously. The girl in Acts 16:16 got results and, in fact, brought her masters a lot of money. That is, before the Apostle Paul cast the demon out of her. And, you know, the demons, not only were these her masters using her for money, but the demons, no doubt, were using her to deceive people as they followed Paul around, you know, as he was preaching the true gospel, and Satan was trying to create confusion in the midst of all of this. This girl got results, as I say, and, you know, if there's no scriptural warrant for using the psychotechnologies that I mentioned earlier, these psychotechnologies, which can open a door to the demonic and affect us in a negative spiritual way, then we should steer clear. And I guess that would be obvious common sense, but, you know, common sense is not that common these days, so we need to reiterate these things as often as possible. We will, you know, listen to the titles of some of the books that I have recommended in the past. Seduction of Christianity, The Beautiful Side of Evil, The Light That Was Dark. These are books by, you know, Dave Hunt, Johanna Michelson, and Warren Smith. The last two books give firsthand testimony to the danger of these practices from now converted Christians. You know, similar really to what was experienced by that girl, the psychic, in the book of Acts. Well, I'm going to close this out now, and then I hope that you'll tune in next week, and hopefully my dog will be more under control. God bless you all. Good night.